when we think of betrayal, sometimes we wince a little, don't we? When you use the word denial, some of us have pain that returns to our hearts. Have you ever been betrayed? There are certainly thousands and maybe even millions of people today in America that feel betrayed. There's a lot of pain in America right now. People that you trust with your finances, who have betrayed you, have hurt you, hurt your life, hurt your future. How about, have you ever been betrayed by a colleague at work? It's happened to some of us. Makes your life difficult, doesn't it? Causes a lot of unnecessary stress. Well, then we can get to subjects that are even more sensitive. How about, have you been betrayed by a friend? A close friend. Someone that you loved like a brother or a sister. Now it starts to hurt, doesn't it? Maybe some of you have been betrayed by a spouse, someone that you love deeply and never ever thought that person would ever betray you, your trust, your love. It kind of leaves you with an empty feeling, doesn't it? All of us at one point in our life, no matter how young we are or how old we are, we've all been betrayed at least once, at least once. And no matter how many times it happens to us in our lives, it never, ever feels good, does it? And here we have recorded for us in the Scriptures the betrayal of the Son of God. Who would do that? Who would ever think of betraying the Son of God? You'd rather die, wouldn't you, than do that? You would do anything. Anything but betraying the Son of God. Imagine, those were the thoughts that ran through the minds of the disciples that evening as they sat around the table. And Jesus said to them, the Scripture this morning, this very night you will, and what's the next word? All betray me. Not just Judas, not just Peter, but all will betray me. I'd like to think that really that word all includes us too. Don't you think we're just as human as Peter or Judas or any of the other disciples? Who in a moment of fear, in a moment of self-preservation, they fled from the presence of Jesus, leaving him there all alone to be taken captive by those rough soldiers there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus had predicted that. A few of them managed to get their wits about them and crawl and make their way back into the presence of Jesus. We're told that John and Peter followed Jesus into the courtroom of Annas and Caiaphas. And there in that courtroom, as Jesus was being questioned, as he was being beaten, as people spat in his face, they saw their leader, their closest friend, someone they loved dearly, be treated so roughly, so harshly, so cruelly. Can you imagine the feelings they must have felt inside of them as they saw those hands strike the face of Jesus, the mouth that gave nothing but love and compassion and caring words to those he came in contact with? Can you imagine how they must have felt when they saw the whip lashing out at his back? But I guess the saddest picture really that's portrayed for us here in this story of Jesus and the disciples denying him is the story of Peter. Because, you know, Peter was one of those people that was so sure of himself. There was no way, he said, no way, Lord, I won't deny you. It doesn't matter what anyone else does. I will always be there. I will be there by your side. I will never forsake you. I will never deny you. Can you hear those words? Have you ever said those words yourself? And then in a moment of discouragement, a moment of pain, a moment of suffering, we turn our backs on Jesus and deny him. Some of us might say, well, we would never deny Jesus. We know better. But you know, even showing a lack of faith in God's power in your life, in a sense, is denying him. You know, it's the story of Peter is so much like the typical response that any of us would have. It's easy for us 2,000 years later to look back at that experience and say, well, oh, Peter, come on, you know, you said you'd be faithful, you said you'd be true, what happened to you? Where did you lose your strength? You know, why did you fall down? Why did you deny Jesus? Why couldn't you just, you know, been brave? Imagine the feelings of total loneliness that Peter must have felt as he walked into that courtroom and heard the shouts and the screams. Imagine the fear that he must have felt as he sensed that he and John were the only ones there that were on Jesus' side. Try to put yourself in that place if you can. And so Peter denied Jesus. The scriptures tell us he denied Jesus three times before the rooster crowed. And the story is found in one of my favorite books, The Desire of Ages. Let me just read just a small section of this to you. While the degrading oaths were still fresh upon Peter's lips, and the shrill crowing of the rooster was still ringing in his ears, the Savior turned from the frowning judges and looked full upon his poor disciple. At the same time, Peter's eyes were drawn to his master. In that gentle countenance, he read deep pity and sorrow. But there was no anger. The sight of that pale, suffering face, those quivering lips, that look of compassion and forgiveness pierced his heart like an arrow. Peter's conscience was aroused. His memory was made active. Peter called to mind his promise of a few short hours before that he would go with his Lord to prison and, yes, even to death. A tide of memories rushed over him, the Savior's tender mercy, his kindness and long-suffering, his gentleness and patience toward him, his erring disciple, brought tears to his eyes. Even when we deny the Lord, he still loves us. Unconditionally loves us. Even when we allow things to slip from our lips that would deny him, even when we allow thoughts into our minds that would deny him, he still looks at us with compassion and love. He cares for us deeply. Jesus went to the cross with his heart heavy, heavy from the burden of sin. He went to the cross knowing that the disciple that was closest, one of the closest disciples, Peter, had denied him. He went to the cross with the knowledge that all of his disciples had forsaken him and had run off scared. I'm so thankful that we have the example, though, of John. Jesus called him the Beloved. John fearlessly stood by Jesus' side. Fearlessly showed his love for his Savior. And oh, that all of us could be John's. The reality is, some of us are Peter's. Oh, that all of us could live our lives as John. But the fact is, many of us are Peter's. But isn't it wonderful to know that even when you are a Peter, the Savior loves you. He cares for you. He forgives you. Even when at times we have fallen, even when we have failed, He picks us up and He gives us that smile, that knowing smile, that smile that assures us that He cares for us, He loves us, and He forgives us. Today is a very special Sabbath, and we're so thankful if you've come to visit us today. We're thankful that you've come on this very special weekend. This is the weekend that we remember what Jesus did for us. This is also a Sabbath that we participate in the communion. And as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we believe in open communion. That means anyone that's here this morning can participate in the communion service. And as we partake of the wine that is symbolic of the blood of Jesus, as we partake of the bread that is symbolic of His body that was broken for us, let us not forget that all of us need a Savior. As we do the ordinance of humility, as we wash each other's feet, let's remember that Jesus, the Son of God that came to this earth to save us from our sins, Jesus humbled Himself as a servant and washed the feet of His disciples. And Jesus has called us to do likewise, to follow in His footsteps.